Would you pray with me again? Heavenly Father, that is our desire, Lord, that we would bring hearts of humility before you as we open your word. Lord, this evening we pray, as we do each time, Lord, that you would make us more like Christ, help conform our thinking to yours as we look at your truth. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, please take your Bible and open up to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter has been writing, instructing the church at large, and now he's going to narrow in specifically to the leaders in the church, to elders. And so today's sermon this evening, it is directly to me and Tom and Tyler, and you all get to observe and watch us squirm. This instruction is actually very critical. It is crucial for the church, what God has to say about his leaders. God has a specific design, qualifications, intention, and purpose for the leadership in his church. This is an important issue for God's people to know. In fact, we have an EQ lesson on God's design and intention for leadership in the church. This evening, we're going to look at what Peter says, but if you want to fill in more from other passages, you can listen to that online. It's under our EQ messages. Oftentimes, in American evangelicalism, churches seem more interested in worldly qualifications for pastors rather than biblical ones. Churches at times can operate more like a corporation with top-down leadership where they need go-getters, people who can draw a crowd, assertive leadership that oftentimes comes with the priorities coupled in with that among the pastors of self-serving nature. How can I make a name for myself? Maybe the church is more concerned with building an empire than seeing saints sanctified. Less concerned with caring for sheep the Lord has entrusted into their care. Pastors are not there to be managers, simply commanding those in the church according to their own desires and their own ambitions, but rather the elders of the church are to be servant shepherds who care for the flock on behalf of Jesus, the good shepherd. Pastors are primarily concerned with Jesus' standards, Jesus' instruction. They are submitted to Jesus' authority, and they function for the end of seeing Jesus glorified. That's God's intention for the pastors of his church. A pastor is to have proven character. He is to be competent in handling God's word. He's called to feed the sheep and protect the sheep. He is never about his own ambition, his personal significance. He is to be one who exudes love for Jesus and is exemplary in pursuing Jesus in love. He's one who exudes love for Christ and is committed to Christ and leads the charge among God's people in the cause of Christ. To be a pastor is not a career choice for earthly gain or comforts or significance. We'll see that spelled out in a moment. It is a calling from God to serve God's people on behalf of Christ. It is a costly calling. At times it can be painful and exhausting. There are times where it can be disheartening. There's a unique burden in the care of souls. There's a constancy in the needs among the sheep. There's a constancy of knowing your own inadequacy in the midst of desires to serve the sheep well. As a pastor, you'll be maligned, misunderstood, slandered. You will lose some of your closest friends. Jesus experienced this. Paul experienced this. There is a burden on the heart of a pastor for souls that is more agonizing at times than the deepest or most intense physical pain or hardship that one can experience. We see this in 2 Corinthians. Paul talks about the daily burden. He gives his list of all the hardships, beaten and whipped and shipwrecked. And he goes, in addition to that, I have the constant burden, daily burden for all the churches. He felt it. And it is also, to be a pastor, one of the sweetest graces, highest privileges, that provides indescribable joy as you often have a front row seat to see the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit bringing souls to spiritual life, seeing lives transformed, sin forsaken, holiness pursued, saints sanctified, and God glorified in his church. In Gilbert Bible Church, we must know what God says about his design for leadership in the church. We need you to hold the leadership accountable to God's standard. We need you to pray for your leaders, to encourage your leaders, when necessary, to admonish your leaders, and we need some of the men in this church to aspire to the office of elder so that we can raise up future generations of leaders so that this church can continue and progress and continue to reproduce itself. So let's read Peter's instruction and we'll work our way through what he has to say about the leadership in the church. Starting in verse 1, we'll work through verse 4. Peter says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Well, Peter puts forth God's design for the elders' leadership in the church. Peter puts forth God's design for the elders' leadership in the church. God has intention and design for leadership in his church, and Peter is going to help us understand and see God's intention in a very succinct fashion. And first, we see that God's design is that elders faithfully shepherd their entrusted flock. Elders faithfully shepherd their entrusted flock. That's the first element of God's design in elder leadership. Now, there has been debate over the years as to how this section fits within the flow of what Peter has been talking about. Some find it misplaced. Wasn't he just talking about suffering for Christ? And now he's talking about elders leading. Why the sudden transition? I don't think it's that confusing at all. I actually think it makes really good sense what Peter is getting at here. Peter starts this section with the word therefore, and thus he is connecting this section with what he just saw in the believer's expectation, what he just put forth regarding the believer's expectation of suffering in this life for Christ, to persevere in that, to suffer in this life is to be expected, and yet God has divine intention and purpose in this. And the temptation for the believer when suffering is to doubt God's faithfulness, doubt that he is trustworthy, doubt that he has a plan in place that he is accomplishing for your good and for his glory, and to run back to old ways of life. And in shifting to the leadership, Peter is actually helping put before the church his intention for leaders to lead the charge in the cause of Christ. Leaders are to be at the front of the line in suffering for the sake of Christ. And there's a manner in which elders are to do this. There's intention and how and what that's to look like. Elders are to be both examples of those pursuing Christ, regardless of the cost, and they are to serve the sheep with shepherding care unto this purpose as well. Elders are to lead the charge in the cause of Christ, and they do so as servant leaders under the chief shepherd. The command is to the elders, and it's found in verse 2. He says, I exhort, or I charge the elders among you, and what is he calling them to? Shepherd the flock of God. That's the call. Faithfully shepherd the entrusted flock. God's flock. I exhort or I charge you to this. Now, I want to point out a couple of observations, and then we'll dive into this a little bit more as we seek to understand what Peter is writing here. First, Peter uses the plural for elder, elders. It's found in verse 2. Shepherd the flock of, I'm sorry, it's found in verse 1. I exhort the elders, plural. Shepherd the flock. This is God's ideal for the church, a plurality of elders. Not one man calling all the shots. The assumption is that the ideal for the local church is a plurality of qualified leaders. Not one pastor calling all the shots, leading the way. There are some specific situations, especially in a young church or a new church or a church just being formed, where they simply may not yet have a plurality of elders or qualified men that they can appoint as elders. And where that is the case, there should be a great intentionality and attention shown to discipling men and raising up more men unto that end, additional elders. So first, when we think about God's intention for pastoral leadership, there's a plurality there. That's the ideal. Also, I want you to notice the interchangeable terms that Peter uses to describe the leadership in the church. Verse 1, he says, I exhort the elders as your fellow elder. Then verse 2, he says, shepherd. And the noun form of this word is pastor. He says, exercising oversight. In the original, it's the noun form of episkopos, which is where we get our word bishop or overseer. And so Peter, in just two verses, uses multiple related terms synonymously. Elder, pastor, overseer, or bishop. And God's perspective is that these are all the same office that can be called different things in different contexts, but it's all relating to the same office. A pastor is an elder is an overseer is a pastor is an elder, and they all just go round and round. They're all referring to the same office. That's important for us to understand because this instruction is not just for whoever's up front, but it's for all of the elders in the church. And so Peter, in just two verses, puts that in front of us. The elder is a pastor, and a pastor is an elder, and there are currently three pastors or elders at Gilbert Bible Church. Tom is one, Tyler is another, and I am the third one currently. And Peter says, therefore I exhort, or I charge, or I appeal to the elders. And he says, as a fellow elder. And so he's not just calling the elders to anything he is unwilling to do himself. In fact, his apostolic authority doesn't remove the obligations that he has as an elder and what he is called to in that office. And he says he is a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker or observer also of the glory that is to be revealed. Peter's referencing when he saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration unveiled in his glory. So he both saw the lowly suffering of Christ and a glimpse of the unveiled glory of Christ that all believers will one day see. And how sweet is it that he has been calling believers to be ready to suffer Christ in this life with the end in mind, with the imminence of Christ's return in mind. And now elders are to lead the charge in this, and there is a certain hope that believers have that they will be with Christ for all eternity in glory. Peter has both seen Christ's suffering and has seen Christ's glory. And he says, as one who has seen those things, as one who is also a fellow elder, here is the call. Here is the commission. Shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock, pastor the flock. Do you remember Jesus' charge to Peter in John 21? Jesus repeatedly asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter affirms his love for Jesus, and what is Jesus' response? Three times. "Tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep," and the third time, "Tend my sheep." All the same idea. Shepherd. Shepherd my people. Scripture is replete with the shepherd-sheep imagery for God and his people, as well as God's delegated leadership for his people. Peter doesn't go into all of the specifics of what that shepherding care is to look like here, although Scripture speaks to it extensively, what it means to shepherd the flock. What are the specific duties of a pastor who is caring for his entrusted sheep? Alexander Strock, in his book, Biblical Eldership, spells out multiple categories of care that the elder is to provide, saying, "As keepers of sheep, New Testament elders are to protect, feed, lead, and care for the flock for their many practical needs." One of the first books that I ever read as I was starting to investigate if pastoral ministry was a path that the Lord would have for me in my life was written by John MacArthur. It's called Pastoral Ministry. And he simply walks through the pastoral epistles, spelling out the responsibilities of a pastor elder. And in 1 Timothy alone, there are 23 of them. I won't recite all of them, but they include things such as correcting those teaching false doctrine, calling them to a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. Elders are to fight for divine truth for God's purposes, keeping a good conscience themselves. They are to pray for the lost and lead men in the church to do so. Also, elders are to set an example of faith, love, and sanctity with self-restraint. Elders carefully select spiritual leadership for the church on the basis of giftedness, godliness, and virtue. They are to recognize the source of error and those who teach it, and are to point those things out to the rest of the church. Elders constantly are to be nourished in their own spiritual life with the word of God and sound teaching. We are to discipline our own life for the purpose of promoting godliness. We are to boldly command and teach the truth of the word of God, and the list goes on. Anyone else overwhelmed and completely intimidated by such a call? This call to shepherd the flock is a humanly impossible task and responsibility. And it's an indescribable privilege, as I said before, that the Lord divinely enables. And that's ultimately where the pastor elder's hope lies. God's working in them and through them and despite them. And every pastor of every true Christian church is called to these priorities, to protect and to feed and to lead and to care for the sheep. And these sheep that they are to care for ultimately aren't their own. They are entrusted sheep. They are ultimately God's sheep. And the elders are called to be faithful in their care as they humbly and dependently shepherd the flock that is God's. Peter makes this so unmistakably clear that the shepherding care is shepherding care as an under-shepherd. That is one who has delegated authority. There is no authority that any pastor elder has except that which has been delegated from God. That has implications on the type of leadership that they are to provide, and we'll look at that in a few moments. It is God's flock. Verse 2, and the elders will give an account regarding their shepherding of the chief shepherd's sheep. Say that five times fast. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, and his care is always perfect. Jesus has never faltered once in his care for his people. And in his perfect care of his sheep, he has chosen in his perfect wisdom to use imperfect means in delegated leadership through pastors in the church as under shepherds. And so God's perfect care is manifested through delegated imperfect means. Elders are to be qualified. They're to be above reproach. That doesn't equal sinless or perfect. Peter goes on to describe core components of what this shepherding must look like, and we see four of them. The first is that elders are to shepherd their entrusted flock, being among the flock. So if you're taking notes under the point one, we have subpoints. There's four of them, and the first is A, being among the flock. So elders shepherd their entrusted flock, being with the flock or being among the flock. And look at verse 1, I exhort the elders, what? Among you. They're with the sheep. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God among you. And God's design is that the pastors of a church are actually a part of the church. They're in proximity with the church. They're rubbing shoulders with the people of the church. They're among the people. It has been said, shepherds need to smell like sheep. And the reality is that every shepherd is also still a sheep. There's only one way that happens, and it's when pastors are together with the body that has been entrusted to their care. So there's no room for distance from the body. If your ministry as a pastor constantly takes you away from your local congregation, you're actually neglecting God's intention and design for leadership in the church. If pastors don't know their sheep, that's a problem. This is why a plurality is actually really helpful. No one man can typically be this for the whole church as God intends, at least for a growing church. The pastor should be accessible and available to the sheep. And listen, if the church is suffering and persecution is happening, the elders can't shrink back, slowly disappear, fade into the background, disassociate somehow. They are to be right in the middle, right at the front of the line, leading the charge in the cause of Christ, in proclamation of the gospel, in faithfulness to the truth. Elders are to be with the body. The sheep know who their shepherds are. They know their shepherds. They have access to their shepherds. And so a pastor is to be among the church. Also, a pastor is to shepherd, being willing in their service. Being willing in service. So a shepherd is with his people, and he is willing in service. Look at verse 2. Peter says, exercising oversight or shepherding or pastoring or overseeing, not under compulsion. So he's going to do this several times when he gives the negative and then he gives the positive. Not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God. That's what drives a shepherd, a willing desire to be with the people and care for them. To exercise oversight is really a general term of giving attention to or taking care of. It comes with a responsibility for. So this exercising of oversight is a responsibility to care after and look for the good of those under their care. Peter says the elders are to shepherd, keeping watch or exercising their oversight willingly. They serve willingly, not under compulsion. That is, not as an earthly obligation. Not because of any earthly pressure that they feel to fill the task. An elder is to desire the work. An elder isn't to shepherd because they were asked and they feel guilty. They can't say no. An elder isn't to be driven by the approval of men. An elder is to serve willingly, or Peter says, voluntarily according to the will of God. You serve because you love God. You serve because you love his people and you are concerned with souls and with the glory of Christ through the good of his sheep, because your heart is consumed with God's will and his purposes and his design. And you want to see him glorified and you want to see his people fed and protected and cared for. This is what is to drive the shepherd. There isn't an earthly motive you are simply concerned with. The worthiness of Christ is what you are concerned with, and you give of yourself in service, not because you feel trapped or have to, but because Jesus is worthy. And so we are to be willing, the pastors are to be willing in their service of the church. This guards against bitterness. This guards against self-advancement, wanting to serve for your own advancement and agenda. What will happen the moment a sheep opposes you if your goal is to serve for earthly means? You will not shepherd that sheep. You will abuse that sheep. You will hurt that sheep. You will neglect that sheep. But if you are serving willingly because you love Christ and you are concerned with his glory, you will endure anything for that sheep. So elders, they are to be willing in service. They're not being pressured externally towards their service. Well, the next is similar. Peter says also, elders shepherd, being eager in service. So you're willing, you're not being pressured externally, but you're also eagle. Where did that come from? You're eager in service. You are eager. There's an internal desire for the work. You're willing to do it. You desire it, and you actually are eager unto it. He says, and not for sordid gain, that's the negative, not for earthly temporal treasures, but with eagerness. This is humble service. You aren't a pastor for your own advancement and your own enjoyment from a worldly standpoint. You aren't seeking to take advantage of the sheep so that you can get rich in this world or for material advancement or personal ambition. If that's the pastor's motivation, you will see it pretty quickly. Pastors who shepherd this way increasingly remove themselves from being among the sheep. Their ministry becomes about their own earthly advancement and branding and the following that they can gain for themselves. They're typically more concerned with their reputation as opposed to the sheep's well-being. They don't bear with sheep when the sheep are difficult or struggling. Or they neglect spiritual care and they don't step into the sheep's lives when they are deceived or sinning or straying. They don't admonish or exhort the sheep because you might chase people away, or you might embitter sheep and have a stain on your reputation as they leave lobbing bombs of insult and slander. No, pastors are to serve with eagerness, not for sordid gain, not for selfish ambition. They're devoted. They are zealous for your soul. They are ready to meet the needs of the sheep, regardless of the cost to themselves personally. And pastors do this as sheep themselves. Pastors are not brought into a category outside of the flock themselves. We are part of the flock as you are. And my life and my ministry is submitted to my elders, Tom and Tyler, and their life is submitted to each other. That's God's design. So we serve with eagerness. All of the challenges of life that the sheep go through, elders navigate those things too. Difficult family relationships, sickness and disease, trials, temptations, sorrows, and yet even in all of those things, there is still a readiness and a burden for the sheep as well. I remember when I first realized this, watching the elders at Grace Bible Church, knowing the personal hardships that they were going through, some of them at various times, watching them go from one meeting where gross sin was being uncovered in a sheep's life that they are caring for, then going into another's life where family loss is being experienced as a loved one passes away, then going to another meeting and hearing of a cancer diagnosis in someone's life, and then sitting with someone else in the church who's bringing concerns about a relationship with another in the church that is strained, and then another meeting where complaints are being presented that they aren't getting the attention that they need personally. Then you sit with someone else who has asked for your attention, and as you encourage and admonish them, they lash out at you, attacking your character because they don't like what you had to say. And it can pile up and pile up and pile up. And usually what's on any individual's sheep mind is only their issue, and the pastor is hearing this on the heels of a dozen or more other weighty issues that the people whom they love and are watching their souls and caring for are experiencing and looking to them for guidance and counsel and care. You will only stick around to shepherd this way if you are doing it for reasons beyond this life. That must be the motivator for every faithful pastor. You are serving for the glory of Christ by the strength of Christ. Ministry as God intends is not glamorous. It is hard and costly. Sheep can be dirty. They can get defensive when you're trying to help. They may at times run away. They might bite at you. Some may be struggling with little faith, and some entangled in sin, some unruly, and some at times divisive. Ministry does not coordinate and check with your personal schedule and the issues going on in your life. And in the midst of it all, there is to be a zealousness and readiness and a devotedness in service to the flock. That's God's call for elders. We have a list in the back for anybody that wants to sign up. I'm joking. Ministry does not coordinate on your timeline. And in the midst of all of that, there is an eagerness for the joy of serving, and they understand that even in all of the hardships that come with ministry, it is a privilege to serve the chief shepherd by serving his people. And a faithful shepherd understands that there is no amount of messiness or hardship or sinfulness that they need to step into that you haven't already walked in yourself, and God provided a means of you being cared for and you being matured and you being grown and you being admonished in the ways that you needed to be. The author of Hebrews gives helpful insight in chapter 13, verse 17, Hebrews 13, 17. He says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." That is weighty. He says, "Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Elders have a responsibility to keep watch over souls of the sheep entrusted into their care, and in the last days they will not give an account to the sheep for that care. They are not doing it to ultimately please or appease the sheep. They serve unto the Lord, and they will give an account to the Lord for those souls. It's a sobering task. It is a weighty task. And as a pastor, as God intends, does this willingly and eagerly, recognizing these are God's sheep that I'm to be among and of which I too am a sheep, there's a readiness to give of self for their good regardless of the cost, because you're devoted to Christ. So there's no cost too high. And the pastor elder and their service will be imperfect. Your elders both have failed you and will fail you again. We need the same grace that you need. And yet this is God's design. That we shepherd, that we're with the sheep, that we do it willingly and eagerly to serve the sheep for their good in the Lord. Years ago, a video was being passed around of a sheep that had run and jumped into a ditch and got stuck. And a shepherd boy comes up and pulls on the sheep and pulls the sheep out of the ditch. And he's so happy that he freed the sheep from the ditch, and the sheep is so excited to be freed from the ditch that the sheep runs 5 yards down the line and jumps into the ditch again. Can relate to that. Understand how that goes. And I know that there is no sheep in this church that has jumped back into that ditch more than me. I need to be shepherded. I still need to be shepherded. We all need this. And God's design is for qualified leadership to provide this kind of care as an under-shepherd for his people. Flawed human care is a reflection of an unflawed, perfect caregiver, Jesus. There is no resentment in the heart of a pastor because the sheep jumped into the ditch again. Why? Because we know what we've received from Christ. It's far more grace. Lastly, elders shepherd the sheep or shepherd the flock, being exemplary in service. Exemplary in service. Letter D. Look at verse 3. Peter says, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Elders are to be exemplary in their shepherding care, in their service to the body. Pastors don't serve to advance their agenda. They don't shepherd to their own preferences. The use of delegated authority that God gives to the shepherd is to be used in humble, selfless service where you are examples of one who is fearing the Lord and submitting to the Lord and pursuing the Lord. What do sheep need? Sheep need examples. Examples of what? Well, faithfulness, devotion to Christ, joyful suffering, faithful preaching, diligent spiritual growth, sincere repentance when faltering, sacrificial service. And elders walk, their walk is to leave footprints for the sheep to follow in. And this leadership, this charge, is that we get out in front of the sheep in the pursuit of obedience to Jesus, and then we can say, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me, but only as I imitate Christ. There's not a selfishness in our exercising of leadership. There's not even to be elevated preferences in our exercising of our pastoral leadership. We are to bring God's sheep to God's word and God's truth, and we are to help make connections with biblical wisdom on how to live in light of these things. We are not to use the sheep as a means to our own preferences and desires. Jesus humbled himself for his people to the lowest position in humility, to give of himself to the point of death for the good of his people. Elders are to humble themselves in selfless service to whatever means necessary for the good of God's people spiritually, not their own ambitions. Elders lead the charge. We get out in front. But that's it. That's where the authority, the delegated authority, starts and stops. It's with God's word, God's truth, God's standards. This is weighty and convicting. I know myself. I know my frailty and my struggles and sin. Pastors aren't in some special separate club from the sheep. Pastors are sheep, as I said before, and simply called into leadership to be exemplary sheep. There is authority, God-given authority that they are to exercise. They are to lead. They are to serve. They are to instruct. They are to admonish at times. And this is a blessing to do so. Pray for your elders. Pray for your elders. I know you do. Thankful for that. Encourage your elders. It can be trying. It can be hard. We're not infallible. We struggle. We feel the weight of these things. You do this. Even this last week, texts of thanks for last week's sermon were so kind. One-on-one face conversations expressing the same, how you were encouraged. Periodic notes of just gratitude sent my way and to my family. These are such encouragements, kind encouragements. And yet, the words of J.C. Ryle are true. The best of men are men at best. And if that's a reality, then I fall way short of that. Pray for your elders, encourage your elders. Do not idolize your elders. Do not put your faith in your leaders. Put your faith in Christ. Serve your leaders, submit to your leaders, honor your leaders, respect your leaders, pray for your leaders. Do not idolize us. We are men. We are under shepherds. Our sole position is for the purpose of pointing you to Jesus. Never us. Never us. Don't put us on a pedestal. We are just as desperate for the grace of God as anyone. So God's design is that elders faithfully shepherd their entrusted flock. Secondly, our second point is that God's design is that faithful service is eternally rewarded. This is a blessing for those who serve well. This is a motivator. This is perspective in the midst of the hardship that comes simply with following Christ, much less caring for souls that have been entrusted into your care on behalf of Christ. And that is that faithful service is eternally rewarded. Look at verse 4. Peter says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, that is Jesus, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." I love how Peter, just time and time again, as he's instructing faithful service in this life, points to the life that is to come, the glory that is to be revealed, the treasures that await the believer after this life, as a comfort and the certain hope, the sure hope that believers have that Peter talked about earlier in the book. This is what drives the faithful pastor. Not love for self, love for Christ. Love for the chief shepherd. He will return, and when he appears, we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And no expression of faithfulness will be overlooked by the chief shepherd. He sees it all. No hardship or sacrifice in shepherding will go unrewarded. And when the chief shepherd appears, those faithful shepherds will receive an unfading crown. This unfading crown, there's primarily two words used to describe crowns. One is used for a crown of authority. One is used for a crown of victory. And the one that Peter uses here is the latter. This is not an unfading crown of authority. We have temporal delegated authority. The crown of glory that Peter is talking about here is an unfading crown representing victory or achievement or accomplishment. This word is specifically used for a wreath that would be placed on the brow of one winning a race or a competition. And for those who faithfully serve the way that God intends, who shepherd their entrusted flock well, will receive this crown. It will never diminish in splendor. It is unfading, and it's a crown of glory. You will share in the heavenly glory. You will know every moment of faithfulness was produced by God at work in you, and so your crown of glory does not detract in any way from Christ's glory, because it points only to his faithfulness in producing these things in you. God's kindness and design in this is so masterful, and this is true for all believers in our service. We serve faithfully, we flee sin, and we run towards holiness, and we're empowered by the Spirit of God and the grace of God to live for God's glory and benefit his people and benefit the world for his glory and his name's sake. And all of the reward that he gives us is because of that faithfulness, and all of that faithfulness was produced because of him in us. And so we receive the reward, and he gets all of the ultimate glory. This is God's intention. This is his design. And so this glory does not detract in any way from Christ's glory, because it points only to his faithfulness producing these things in you, and you will love that and revel in that and worship Jesus for eternity because of that, as well as countless other reasons for which he is worthy of worship. This is what the church is called to. This is what God's leaders are called to. This is what we need at Gilbert Bible. This is what we need more of at Gilbert Bible Church. This is what we need to be sustained in at Gilbert Bible Church. Jacob Hantla, one of the pastors at Grace, quotes somebody, I can't remember who it's by, so he's quoting somebody else. He talks about how today's victories don't guarantee tomorrow's success. Tom or Tyler or myself, we could have an error in judgment in our life. We could be disqualified in a moment. Pray for us. This is why elders need to be among the sheep. We need encouragement. We need to confess our sins to one another. We need to be prayed for. We need to be encouraged. We need to see God at work. And there's a specific calling in the care for souls that we are to do faithfully and humbly, dependently. Why can any of us be faithful at this? One reason, only one reason. Because we, like the sheep, as a sheep, are under the good shepherd's care. He keeps us, and he loves us, and he tends to us. He has made a way of salvation for us at the cost of his own life. We know the chief shepherd. He is trustworthy. He loves perfectly. He cares for us diligently, always, each one of us. And so what will our greatest hope as leaders be? What will our greatest hope as a church be? To always have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you for the wisdom of your design to have delegated leadership under your ultimate leadership in the church. Lord, we pray for godliness in Tyler and Tom and myself. Pray that you would uphold us in character. Lord, that we would serve willingly and eagerly. Lord, thank you for this precious church body and the joy that it is to serve and care for these sheep. Thank you for the way that these friends and brothers and sisters care for each one of us. It is a blessing, it is a privilege, and Lord, we pray for the future of Gilbert Bible Church that you would uphold the elders of this church in our faithfulness to you, and Lord, that you would implant in the hearts of some of the men here a desire to lead, a willingness to lead, an eagerness to lead, and Lord, that you would accompany that desire with proven and tested character and giftedness. I pray for the young men in the church that you would produce in them a humility that for young men is oftentimes so hard to find and grasp and live in, that there would be patience. Lord, that we would recognize your design and plan and qualification for spiritual leadership as a protection for the sheep and a protection for the leader. And so help us to be diligent and help us to be patient. Help us to be faithful and help us to be dependent. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Help us to never think much of ourselves and to always think supremely of Jesus, because he alone is worthy. We pray these things in his name. Amen.